When injury takes you out of the game, it's time for your team to step up. At Allina Health Orthopedics, you'll get expert care backed by a whole health system of providers. With convenient locations, virtual options, and an app that gives you 24/7 access to your records, test results, and care team, you're always close to the care you need. Schedule now at AllinaHealth.org/ortho.
I'm Michael Boxall, and you're listening to the sound of the Loons.
Afternoon or evening, depending on when this finds you. Welcome to the Sound of the Loons podcast presented by Allina Health Orthopedics. I'm Steve McPherson, and today we've got a sort of special bonus episode. Obviously, Minnesota United had a good weekend, getting the clean sheet 1-0 win over the Western Conference leading Seattle Sounders. And Cal and I will get into all that a little later this week as we also look ahead to the team's next match with Portland Timbers. But right now, you're going to get to hear from Chef Justin Sutherland on barbecue, a topic which has become near and dear to my heart over the last year or so. Justin operates several restaurants in the Twin Cities, including the Handsome Hog, and he is also the chief culinary consultant at Allianz Field. So if you're really here for soccer, sorry, you're going to hear about some barbecue. Justin Sutherland, welcome back to Sound of the Loons. You are Allianz Field's chief culinary consultant, but that's just one of many hats you wear. I know that you're a chef who has done a lot of different kind of cooking, but you know, also in charge of the Handsome Hog, and it's barbecue season out there. It's hot. Everybody's firing up their grills, their smokers, et cetera. First of all, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me back. Good to chat with you again.
Yeah, awesome. So here's where I wanted to start. When I was growing up in Massachusetts, not known for its barbecue culture, to me, barbecue was grilling hamburgers, but that's not really barbecue in the sense of it. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what separates barbecue from just grilling?
Yeah, I mean, I think that term barbecue is extremely, you know, regional and cultural around, you know, the different areas of the United States and the world. You know, I mean, me too, growing up, you said when we were going to go barbecue, it was throwing hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill. I mean, that's, you know, especially in Minnesota before our barbecue boom kind of hit. I mean, that was barbecuing. You go down south, you know, to the Carolinas, and they say the word barbecue, and that literally means, you know, pulled pork with the Carolina barbecue sauce on it. I mean, barbecue is pulled pork and nothing else. So I think you get into a lot of difference between, you know, smoking, between grilling. It really, really depends on where you are and who you're talking to.
Yeah. So I was fascinated to find out that, you know, the roots of barbecuing come from, you know, different cultures that were in the Americas, including native cultures, where they would, mm-hmm. You know, dig pits and then cook meat, you know, sort of, in the ground over coals and things like that. And that the term barbecue comes from the Spanish word barbacoa, you know, and so there's all these different cultures that go into it, which I find really interesting. And also knowing your background with all the different cultures that go into what you do. Mm-hmm. How did you go from barbecuing being grilling in the backyard here, you know, in Minnesota, to sort of getting into some of the techniques that are involved in barbecuing?
Yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, that initial, you know, barbecue, as you and I grew up knowing it, that was just, you know, that was always just like the happy time that reminded us of summer. That's how families got together. So that aspect of it was just always something that was ingrained in me, because those were some of my best food memories were around a grill. You know, but then I just really started getting fascinated with, you know, with the smoking and just that whole barbecue world that, you know, as of now in Minnesota in the last, you know, 5+ years, I mean, it's blown up. We have some of the best barbecue, you know, pop-ups and trucks and trailers around the country. But there wasn't a lot of that, you know, 6-7 years ago when we were opening Handsome Hog. So it was something I really wanted to learn and bring to this community, because we didn't have a lot of it.
So when you got into smoking, did you start with like offset smoker? Did you start there? From that seems like the top end of the difficulty scale in terms of figuring this stuff out. Like, I've heard a lot of horror stories about people trying to make briskets and it going really badly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, it starts a lot, you know, in the restaurant. It started just a lot of tabletop smokers that, you know, you'd build on your stovetop, or you take, you know, the big hotel pan and put wood chips in it, and just kind of, you know, learning how different meats and foods absorb smoke. You know, then moving to building our own units, just messing around with cinder blocks and, you know, and iron plates, and then building things outside, and then messing around with some offset smokers and some direct and indirect heat. And honestly, it's a lot of trial and error. I mean, it's, I'm still nowhere near any of these, you know, great pit masters or anything. And I'm learning stuff every single day just by eating and watching and reading and mostly eating.
Yeah, it's one of the really interesting things to me is that the extent to which it demands patience and experimentation, and the fact that a lot of this stuff takes so long, you know, when you're dealing with things like pork butt or brisket, you're talking about over 10 hours, you know, and things like that. And you take all these steps along the way, and it's not like complicated, right? But you know, little things make a big difference when they're done over that length of time. To me, it's interesting. It's interesting because I love eating barbecue, but mm-hmm. and making it as well now. But it's interesting because I do think there are some connections to things like soccer, and the fact that like a team coming together is not simply like you take the best ingredients and that gives you the best thing. It's like the ingredients have to work together in a certain way. They have to, there's a certain amount of patience. There's a certain amount of understanding everything's role. And I think that's one of the really beautiful things about barbecue, in addition to what you said earlier, which was this communal element of it, mm-hmm. which is coming together for it. It's not just, I have finish this meal, here it is presented to you on a plate. It's sort of everybody's there. Let's hang out. You know, there's no rush. Right. And I think some of those, that communal element and that patience element as you're learning the craft, are both things that connect to the world of soccer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when you said, I mean, you hit it when you said it's not always about taking the best ingredients, because, you know, in its origins, I mean, barbecue was a way of taking less desirable cuts of meat that were very tough, that, you know, that took a long period of time. And the only way to break some of those, you know, connective tissues down were to smoke it and were to cook it for 8, 10, 12 plus hours. So it's not, you know, it's not always about finding the best thing. It's about, you know, time, temperature, patience, you know, knowing when those, you know, those muscle fibers are breaking down, knowing how much fat you want to render off, and then just really balancing, you know, that temperature and having patience. I mean, that's the biggest mistake when people first start smoking or grilling. They'll be like, all right, making brisket, dinner's at 6. And we're like, nope, dinner's whenever the brisket says dinner is. If you can, then, you know, you can't just turn the heat up higher and make it cook faster, you know, so.
Yeah, my wife still doesn't fully understand that. Like when I'm trying to make brisket, and I got a Traeger last fall, and I've sort of been working from the wood pellet thing, which is
great.
It's nice because it takes a certain amount of that you know, hard work out of the front end of it, and allows you to focus a little more on sort of, you know, your rub, the, you know, the, mm-hmm. your wrap, like all those things that you do. And so, cause I, you know, like if I had to build a fire every time I was making, you know, brisket, like, I mean, it already takes 12 hours. Like, I don't know if I could do this, but yeah, exactly. I'm like working on something. And my wife is like, so when should we people come over? I'm like, well, have them come over at 3. I'm not sure. It could be 4, it could be 5, you know? And she's like, I'm like, this is just how it is. Like you got to listen to the meat.
Yep. It's done when it's done. You can't make it go any faster.
Yeah. The thing about the using cinder blocks and stuff like that was making me think of, I watched I think it was a Chef's Table on Netflix with a guy from, I think it was one of the Carolinas. And it started off with him like building a pit, essentially, because this was like whole pig roasting and or barbecuing. And he's going to like the hardware store. And the first thing he says is, you know, like a lot of chefs go to like the chef store. It's like,
yeah, well,
the
hardware.
yes, exactly. Ronnie, that's right. Yeah, I go to the hardware store like for like a shovel. Which was amazing. And his story is incredible. Like watching, you know, like the stories of these people who begin from a family tradition, and then, you know, people take notice of it, and suddenly they're like the thing to go do. And people are going to visit, you know, their institutions. Have you gotten to go around the country and go to some barbecue places? Like, what are some of your favorites?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I mean, luckily my top chef season was in Kentucky. So got a lot of time in the South. You know, we did do a few years back, kind of a barbecue tour through St. Louis, Texas, and just drove and stopped at all the little hole in the walls. Oh, man, we found this place in Mississippi, just off the beaten path. I think it's called The Shack. That was one of my favorite places I've ever been. But for me, I think, you know, this, I don't want any sign. I want like food to, you know, be served off an old cellar door and just like have this little corner, like lean to on the side of the road that, you know, that's where I think the best barbecue is always coming from.
Yeah. It's one of those tough things and it comes up in a lot of situations. I think it happens in music. It can happen in sports as well. You know, I know that's a thing with soccer because Minnesota United started as a sort of second division team. They were an NASL and a lot of people came to love that feel of going to a small game and it's raucous. And then now it's MLS. It can be tough to like maintain that, you know, authenticity as things get bigger, you know, as the stakes rise, like it can become more difficult. Is that a thing that's ever, I mean, you're a guy who's doing a million things all the time. Do you get concerned about that? Like, are there things you do to try to make sure you're maintaining touch with like what got you into this in the first place?
Absolutely. I think that's always a situation. I think in any, you know, in any arena is usually, you know, the larger you grow, the harder it is to control, you know, what got you there. I mean, it's always a concern. I think if you stay conscious of it and watch which areas of you're growing in and which areas you're, you know, staying very true to the origins. You know, I try not to duplicate things that are, you know, that are already good. People, you know, always ask why I haven't opened another Handsome Hog. And, you know, it's because, I mean, there's something so special about that place. It's just, you know, there's so many aspects from the staff to the, you know, just the people that have been there for so long building this culture that I don't think I could replicate it, you know, and keep it true to what it was, which is why I haven't. I'd rather explore and do, you know, other concepts and other things rather than if something's really good, I try and tend to leave it alone.
Right. Again, another barbecue lesson. If it's going well, just leave it alone. Like right. don't open the smoker.
Yeah.
So what do you see as the, and again, sort of getting back to your background of having a lot of different cultures, how do you see the role of you know, the tradition of barbecue cooking versus innovating things? Like when you're making something, you know, is it, you talked about experimentation. Is it sort of like, I know this is the concept. Once you get that down, do you start being like, what can I do to tweak this a little bit? How does that fall for you?
Barbecue is very much, you know, I mean, it's very much science. There's some rules that just cannot be manipulated or broken. I mean, you know, a certain muscle tissue is going to break down at this temperature. You need it to reach this certain temperature. It has to cook for this long. So, I mean, there's just certain components that you really can't mess with. And any, you know, barbecue purist would tell you absolutely not to. You know, I mean, you can experiment in, you know, in your rubs or seasonings or, you know, what you're smoking. I mean, we'll be trying to throw all kinds of crazy shit in the smoker just to see what works out. I don't know. I mean, there's always room for innovation. And of course, we always want to see new fun stuff. But there's just some pretty fundamental rules when it comes to barbecue and smoking that just are what they are.
Yeah. When I was in Austin maybe about a year and a half ago and went to a Korean place that was like a sort of hybrid Korean Texas barbecue where it had some elements mm-hmm. of like the Korean barbecue stuff, mm-hmm. but then also sort of some foundations of sort of smoking Texas right. barbecue. And that was a really interesting fusion, you know, to get to mm-hmm. try out.
Yeah. There's a place called Q, which is a Japanese barbecue fusion place. It's absolutely phenomenal as well. It's just like that. It's pretty mind blowing.
Yeah. So the thing that, to get a little more specific here, the thing that got me really into it was being in Austin and going to Franklin Barbecue mm-hmm. and, you know, waiting for 2 hours in line yep. and then having some life-changing brisket that, you yep. know, is still like what I aspire to. As far as, you know, like the thing, and so I've sort of followed, you know, watching Aaron Franklin's stuff and he's very much in the, you know, your rub is salt, pepper. Like if you're doing yep. brisket, like keep it simple. You know, I've done pork shoulder and done, you know, had paprika in there and things like that. So to give it some color and stuff like that. Do you have any good tips for rubs? Are you all also with just a salt and black pepper guy? Or like, do you have anything else that you like to put in there?
I mean, I'm generally a salt and pepper guy. We don't do that at Handsome Hog. I actually have my own line of all of my rubs and spices are for sale. That we have a line out for my brisket rub, rib rub, our fried chicken dredge, and a couple of our wing seasonings. Yeah, I mean, for me, salt and pepper is always, you know, the basis of great, great food. You know, our brisket at Handsome Hog, we do a little different. We've got a proprietary rub that we use there that's got some cinnamon, some brown sugar. So, I mean, again, it's, I think you go with what you like and find the mix that works. But I definitely always do start with salt and pepper on everything.
Yeah. Do you find the sugar element, does that help? I mean, I'm getting so specific here. Does that help with like bark formation? or anything like that? Does it contribute to that? This is a thing I'm trying to figure out myself.
Absolutely, of course. I mean, you know, sugar naturally caramelizes, you know, when it gets that high heat, you know, and gets that carbony look. So yeah, I mean, sugar definitely helps with that bark and just helps with the sweetness overall of the meat.
Yeah, nice. For as far as doing like you do ribs. I have not done ribs yet. Somehow I have not managed to do ribs yet. What do you like? Do you like the short ribs? Do you like the beef? Like, what do you like to cook when it comes to that?
I like St. Louis style ribs. They tend to have a little bit more meat on them, a little bit more fat on them. You know, they're cut a little bit thicker than like a baby back. But I mean, I love ribs. I'll eat any of them. But you know, like St. Louis style pork rib is generally my favorite.
Nice. And is that a dry? Is St. Louis dry?
Where do they? What's that?
Is it a dry rub and then
dry rub?
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I like the dry rubs. I like chicken wings with dry rub. Actually, it's one of my favorites.
I mean, I prefer dry rubs just about on everything. I mean, I love sauces, I love hot sauces. I love some sauce on the side, but I always think barbecue sauce. I mean, if it's smoked right, if it's the right texture, if it's seasoned correctly, you know, sauce is just kind of drowning out all that hard work that you just put into it. I mean, the meat should speak for itself. So I'm not a big sauce guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the salt and pepper thing too, right? That you want it, whatever your rub is. I'm sure we'll have to try out your proprietary rubs at some point. You want the meat and the smoke to come through. You don't want it to be sort of obscured by that. There are some really good barbecue sauces. I really like Gates from Kansas City is actually.
Okay.
I've been to Kansas City a couple of times with the team for games, and I've gone to a couple different places down there, which are quite good. But I am with you. I prefer a little bit of sauce, maybe just on the side. You know, like I don't want it swimming in that, basically.
Exactly. I'll do like dip maybe every other bite in some sauce or just try it, you know, just to try it. But I generally just want to taste that smoke, that meat.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned before also the explosion of barbecue places here in mm-hmm. Minnesota. I just went to Boomin Barbecue, which I believe has, you know, one of your alums is doing that, which was great. Fantastic to check out. Everybody should, they have a food truck at the parking lot of Ambibulous, which is great. What are some of the other ones that you have enjoyed trying out, you know, in the Twin Cities, aside from obviously Handsome Hog, top of the list, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, it's not. I mean, Handsome Hog is, you know, it's by no means a barbecue restaurant in the way that the other people are barbecue restaurants. You know, we do some barbecue and Southern food, but no, not, I mean, like Animales Barbecue, definitely one of my favorites, hands down. Boomin Barbecue for sure. Both those guys, Gary and Dylan, both Handsome Hog alum who are good friends. They're crushing it. Barking the Bite, Black Box Barbecue. I feel like in the last, like, I mean, there's dozens of really, really good, like, competition style barbecue places around here, but Boomin and Animales are definitely my two favorite.
Yeah. I had the beef cheek at Boomin, and it was great. That was I've never had beef cheek before, but it's a really interesting cut.
Yeah. It's really good. I mean, again, it's one of those tough cuts of meat that takes, you know, you have to be treated. I mean, they smoke forever. Has to be treated very, very specifically in order to get that texture that you're looking for.
Yeah, you get that awesome bark on there. What do you find sort of most satisfying in like what's the most satisfying thing for you to cook? Do you like to do the pork shoulder brisket? Like, what do you like the big challenge of the long cook with the brisket or something a little bit easier?
Quicker? Yeah, I mean, brisket's very. I mean, I think once you get your brisket time and temperature and recipe down, it's, you know, it generally doesn't fail. So, I mean, we get 500 pounds of brisket a week. I like doing smaller cuts of meat that are a little bit more tricky. I love cooking ribs. You know, I think that's one of the harder things to nail, getting, you know, the right amount of tenderness, but still having a little bit of that meat pull on there. You don't want just to be, you know, completely fall off. I love doing ribs. I love doing stuff with chicken wings. Mm-hmm. And I also just like finding weird stuff to smoke and see what works. I mean, we've been doing smoked crab legs at Handsome Hog here for the last couple months.
And oh, nice.
Been phenomenal. And, you know.
Yeah. Crab. What's some of the other crazy things you've tried in the smoker?
Not necessarily crazy, but I think one of the greatest things to smoke is butter. We use smoked butter in everything. Fat absorbs smoke just amazingly. So, I mean, if you smoke butter, keep it in your freezer, and just cube it up and have little cubes of smoked butter that you can fold into anything and just give anything you're making a pretty phenomenal smoky and buttery flavor.
This is a very good tip. I did some smoked nuts last weekend, you know, sort of like a little brown sugar, cinnamon, things like that, a little cayenne in there. And that stuff's good. There's a lot of, the Traeger is nice. You can do a lot of other stuff. You can do I did like a breakfast bake, like a Strata basically.
You find out you can smoke just about anything and most things taste better smoked.
I smoked a frozen pizza. This is better than just cooking it in your oven. So there's, there's a lot of things.
I love it.
What would you recommend, for somebody, getting into it? You know, like, obviously not all of us are going to build smokers. I mean, I have had good luck with the Traeger and doing the pellet grill and stuff like that. Like, what would you recommend for people?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, honestly, the Traegers, Big Green Eggs are great, you know, starter pieces. So there's a lot of really good, inexpensive offset smokers in there. But I don't think it really matters what kind of rig you're using. I think the biggest thing is, know that you're probably going to mess up the first time. You know, and just, and let the, don't do it too fast. I mean, just let the time, let the time happen. Cause I think, again, that's people's always their biggest mistake is rushing it or thinking they can turn up the heat or thinking they can, say what time it's going to be done. Take your time and have fun.
Yeah. I so far I have not lost anything really. Nothing's gone terribly wrong. I did run out of pellets once when I was smoking a turkey breast and then I had to restart it, which is like a half hour of cool down. And so that was not the best turkey breast, but I've since learned I did a buttermilk brine with a turkey breast. That was amazing.
Nice.
Like that really kept it nice and moist, which was fantastic. But yeah, that patience thing is, I tried my first brisket like overnight, like a couple of weeks ago where I started it at 11:45 or something. And, I couldn't really sleep because I was
Well, that's good. That means you care about your meat. But yeah, I mean, sometimes that's the best way. Big cuts of meat, do it overnight.
Yeah, that first, the first 4 or 5 hours, like you don't want to really mess with it too much, anyway. So the Traeger again is great for that because I feel like there's an ad for Traeger now, but it'll tell you if something goes horribly wrong, wake you up with the phone, that's good. But it's a fantastic thing. I recommend it for anybody to get into. Like you said, like it's that communal thing, getting people together, especially over the last, year, the ability to get people together outside and eat some food is a real blessing in times like we've had this last year.
Absolutely. And barbecue is no better way to do it. We always say nobody's ever mad at a barbecue. You can't be there and be in a bad mood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Justin, thanks so much for coming by. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us for the 152nd Sound of the Loons podcast presented by Allina Health Orthopedics. Be sure to leave us a nice review on iTunes or at the very least a 5-star rating and follow the team on Twitter at MNUFC. You can follow me at Steve Entris, and I strongly recommend checking out Justin's feed on Instagram at Chef Justin Sutherland. He's currently hosting Fast Foodies on True TV. Apologies as always to Richard Wagner, and remember, there's only one person in this whole world like you, and people can like you exactly as you are.